This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour three. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Alex Tripp is going to join us, ESPN Madison, at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk on the latest on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. We've been hearing a lot about Naylor. They want to move on. They're disgusted with Rodgers. This hideaway retreat, whatever it may be. Let's get to the nitty-gritty details of what exactly is happening between the two sides. We've got that coming up in a half an hour. Now, Aaron Rodgers wants to be the answer for the Jets in the AFC. Then what would that actually mean for the Jets? They just had Derek Carr in town. Everyone's excited about that. I don't know why. I mean, I guess it would be just something new, something different, and a more of a veteran quarterback rather than keeping going with young people, the young future that's not working out. You know, the Jets were good when Mark Sanchez was on the team back when they went to two AFC championship games. But since then, they haven't really made a dent in anything, and they're still looking for the superstar quarterback that they haven't had since Joe Namath. Aaron Rodgers would cross that off, but he could also be very briefly like Brett Favre. I mean, the Jets one time had Brett Favre, but it's almost forgettable the time that he was on the Jets. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers could go to New York. Everyone could be all, this is great, this is great. But it could end up being just something on the tail end of his career that doesn't work out like Tom Brady had when he went to Tampa Bay and led them to a Super Bowl. We know that if the Packers are going to move on from Aaron Rodgers, it is going to be to an AFC team. He's not going to be traded to an NFC team because you don't want to face him in the playoffs, so move him off to an AFC team. But as we know, the AFC is so loaded with quarterbacks that if you don't have one, it's impossible. It is impossible to be competitive, right? I saw this sort of feeling in Nashville this year because people were looking at the Eagles and saying, you know what? If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, this gives the Titans a lot of hope. Titans fans should take a lot of hope. It was one argument that was being made in this town. Because Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback, but we don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback going forward. And the Titans are one of those teams in the AFC that doesn't have one. Right? There are teams that you have three categories right now. You either definitely have a quarterback, you hope you have a quarterback, or you don't have a quarterback. The Steelers, for example, hope they have a quarterback in Kenny Pickett, right? The Chargers have a quarterback in Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, right? The Jets don't have a quarterback. The Patriots hope they have a quarterback in Mac Jones. The Browns hope they have a quarterback in Deshaun Watson. We know Deshaun Watson can play well. We need a little bit more to see if he can play well with the Browns. The Titans don't have a quarterback, right? And so the idea is that if the Eagles were able to get something out of Jalen Hurts, that with everything else around him, right? Strong offensive line, strong defensive line, good solid pass defense, running game, all of the things that you want, playmakers at wide receiver, it could help the Titans in the AFC. The counter argument to that, and one that I was making, was, yeah, that might be fine if you were going through a conference like Philadelphia was going through. This is not to take away from the Eagles' season. They were great. They were fantastic. They were the number one seed in the NFC. But how strong and how deep was the NFC this year? I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a losing record and made the playoffs, right? The 49ers were very good, right? But Dallas was iffy. The Vikings were iffy. Right? There was a sense that this was not a very strong conference. So the path for the Eagles to get to the Super Bowl was easier than anybody coming out of the AFC. So if you are a team like the Titans and you say, well, the Eagles' success could give us hope that we could have success, good luck, because the landmines that are in front of you are not in front of Philadelphia, or at least weren't in front of Philadelphia last year. We know this stuff can change pretty quickly. You are going to have to navigate an AFC against Allen, against Burrow, against Mahomes, against Herbert, possibly against Trevor Lawrence, as every one of these teams has a star quarterback. That's not to mention if the Ravens and Lamar Jackson come together, if Deshaun Watson works out, if Tua is going to be a success in Miami. That's what's facing the Jets. So the Jets want to be in the party, right? Derek Carr, who was in the conference, is something to get all excited about? Yeah, if you're comparing him to Zach Wilson, if you're comparing him to Mike White or Sam Darnold when he was drafted by New York, if you're comparing them to quarterbacks that have come and gone recently, yeah, Derek Carr is an upgrade. Aaron Rodgers is not an upgrade. Aaron Rodgers is a whole new level. But the question is, what does it do? You've got to win the first battle, right? You've got to have that position secure. But would Aaron Rodgers just flutter away in an AFC that is just absolutely loaded? Or could he actually take the Jets that have got some good pieces around them and turn them into a team that, again, let's add the Jets to the list? It would be the biggest question going into the 2023 season. And there would be a lot of questions about this upcoming season. But the biggest one would be Aaron Rodgers and the marriage with the Jets. If that were to take place. Derek Carr going to the Saints? All right. That would be fun, I guess. Derek Carr going to the Jets? Okay. Fun, I guess. Aaron Rodgers would be the one that we would circle and say the big question coming in is this. What does it do? Like we say many times, quarterbacks, they just don't grow on trees, so you've got to get them when you can. And if you got to get a 38-year-old guy who's disgruntled with his current employer, then you get a disgruntled 38-year-old Pro Bowl Hall of Famer. Same thing with Derek Carr. Sometimes that new life kicks in, and then something makes you successful. Going back to Ryan Tannehill is a perfect example. There wasn't a parade for Ryan Tannehill when he arrived in Tennessee. When he first got here, no one was thinking, now we'll get to see the real Ryan Tannehill. Kind of flamed out with the Dolphins, didn't really do much, came to Tennessee, but it was the right system, it was the right coach, and it was the right tools. No, he wasn't leading the NFL in passing yards. No, he wasn't leading the league in touchdown passes. No, the Titans didn't develop a high-level offensive aerial attack, but he was efficient enough. They utilized Derrick Henry in the right way. They got a good offense. They had a good offensive line, and they turned all of those things into the number one seed in the AFC a year ago. Well, this year he got hurt, and they kind of faded away to a point where Jacksonville ended up winning the division. The Jets are trying to put themselves in the party. And in order to get to the Super Bowl, you got to get into the party. We know that the best teams don't always make the Super Bowl, right? The best teams, the teams that are loaded, they lose a handful of games, even if they're hosting championships. We know that that's not always guaranteed in a one-game shot of you getting in. If it was a best of five, and we have extended this forever, you would see more of those teams get in because football is where it's very difficult if you're a less-than team to beat a loaded team three out of five times. But they don't do it that way, and rightfully so. It would take us all the way to June. But nevertheless, you get one-shot deals, things can happen. So you've got to get in to the party, and the Jets are trying to do that. I think in the end, I'll be really surprised if Aaron Rodgers stays on the Packers. I really would. Now, you may be saying, but we've gone through this before with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, we have, right? We just did it a year ago. It feels like yesterday. We did this whole thing, but I would really be surprised. I think Rodgers is at a point now where he knows that, okay, would he love to finish his career in Green Bay? I don't know, maybe. But would he also like to be in a position where he gets a freshness again? He gets a new beginning? You can get stale at your current place. People do it in every profession, right? I've seen it in this business. People leave for new markets, and they go to new markets, and they just want to see something new. They want to try something else, right? Some stay for 40 years. Some last five and move on. It depends on how you're wired. Maybe at 38 years old, he's like, man, you know what? I've never worked and played in New York City. I wouldn't mind that. maybe that's the case. Maybe he's looking and saying, you know what? Maybe there's a place I can go.
But has that boat passed him by because since he's been in a cave of darkness?
Yeah, right? Maybe.
Like, shouldn't he have been? Is he arrogant enough to really think, like, I'm Aaron bleeping Rodgers, I can go wherever I want and I'll start?
Well, if they're trading him to the Jets, yes.
Right, but the Jets may no longer want to trade it if they can get Derek Carr.
That's another good point.
Right.
Like, the Derek Carr situation is interesting because if you are the Jets, how long are you going to wait to see what is going to play out with Aaron Rodgers? Because we're setting it up, or at least I'm setting it up, that Aaron Rodgers is gone, but he's not gone. The Packers and him could go, look, you're playing another year. We pull the strings and you're playing.
Right.
And it's going to cost us some money. You're going to make a lot of money, and it's going to cost us a lot of money, but you're playing for us. And that means the Jets would be out of the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. And that means if Derek Carr says, well, that's what I was saying earlier. Remember when I was saying, if you're the Saints, you got to sell Derek Carr as, no, we want to go to the prom with you.
Yeah.
We're not waiting for an answer from Lisa. You're my first choice. You're my plan A. You're not anybody's plan B. And if you're Derek Carr, you go, well, I want to go where I'm the plan A.
God, one of the best ways to sell it would be, hey, Derek, come to the Saints because the Jets will, Aaron Rodgers will go to the Jets. Who's your competition in the NFC at that point?
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Dak?
Exactly.
Brady's
I'm
gone.
I'm Derek Carr, man. That's,
I mean, the NFC is like ripe for the picking.
All short-term
you just
look,
have Jalen Hurts to worry about.
I would absolutely do that. So Alex Stroph is going to join us, ESPN Madison, coming up in the bottom of the hour as we continue with Wake Up Call. One college basketball note I want to get to that's coming up next. It's Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. A good win for Kansas last night against TCU. It's not a major win. TCU has been plummeting of late. They were out of the AP top 20, but they went down to 24. They were out of the AP, no, I'm sorry, the coaches top 25. But good win for Kansas last night. They could be a number one overall seed. I know people love Houston. Alabama is still up there. I think KenPom has Kansas like eighth or ninth. But they're putting on some really good wins in a very, very tough conference. And while there's some things that Kansas is deficient at a little bit in terms of its net rankings and RPI and stuff like that, overall, they've done a magnificent job. Last night, a good win for them. UCLA is climbing up there. Purdue still is up there. So if you're interested in not just the number one seeds, but the number one overall seed, you can make a case for Kansas, even though they're, kind of people put them in a, kind of a either on the one line, but not an overall number one or the first two line. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Philip on Twitter. I'm a little less bitter these days about NCAA football because the game is coming back finally. Yeah, I remember how fun that was, man. That was a fun game. I don't know if I'll dive into the next iteration of it, but I loved it back in the day. Robert on Twitter, the old timer says yes to NIL and getting paid, but give the track and field javelin thrower a check too. Yeah, that's the big argument, right? Like how far down do you go? I mean, I think that if you're a student athlete, either two things are going to happen here. All right. This is just my perception. I don't think this is cemented. There might be other options. This is the only way I see it is that some of these sports, you might have to say to some of these sports, while we'll still give you room and board and education, it's going to be a club sport. So we're not going to be investing in it financially. Like, you're going to have to find your own support like you see some club sports do. That may have to be, and that would be bad because if you can't get the funding, then you don't have the sport. So that might have to be the case in some cases. It really goes down to the Division II level that can be really nerve-wracking because the business model is the same, right? It's just on a smaller level, right? So you may not be Alabama, right, with a huge stadium and television money coming in from the SEC network and all of that and all the rights that you're divvying it up amongst your SEC brethren and all of the merchandise and all of the everything that comes with being part of Alabama football. If you're like CSU Pueblo, you're still playing football as a method of generating revenue. You're still selling tickets. You're still selling sponsorships. You're still doing a sport for revenue. So if the business model is the same, but on just a different level, how much does Alabama pay its athletes and how much does Colorado State Pueblo pay its athletes, right? There's a big problem. And it's going to get less and less and less and less as you as further down. You can make the case in Division III, right? Same thing. If the business model is the same, then it's going to be across the board. The Supreme Court is not going to come back and say to the NCAA in this case about NCAA and amateurism, they're not going to say, well, it's only amateurism and this will only count for athletic events that generate this amount of money. That they're making a principled ruling here. So the principled ruling here is that if the school can get you to do the sports stuff for free without paying you, meaning dictating your schedule, dictating where and when you're going to be, right? Obviously, in terms of workouts, et cetera, and they're doing all of that like an employee, then that individual needs to get paid. And if that happens at Washburn or Oklahoma, it's the same principle across the board. That's the big problem. You know, I was going back to the education thing when I was talking about, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, so I always would run into either a caller or just somebody in the building or somebody that was, you know, really old school. And like the whole one and done thing of college basketball is when it started to really percolate that I started noticing that there was these group of older fans. You know, I mean, we're talking like, you know, mid-2000s when this really was starting to kick in, that sort of remembered the glory days of college basketball. It was the era of college basketball I grew up in where you would have a player like Christian Laettner, for example, or Patrick Ewing or Ralph Sampson, and they stayed for a while. They didn't just jump in, put on a Virginia uniform and get the hell out of there. They stayed a while. So you would be able to anticipate that because the transferring was really strict, like you'd lose a year, that they weren't jumping right to the NBA because you could go right to the NBA, but instead most people went the college route, that guys would stay, and that you could anticipate that Georgetown with Patrick Ewing would be a force. Christian Laettner and Duke would be a force, right? John Crotty was going to stay at Virginia for a while or whatever it may be. And then there was going to be a period of time later in their development that they were going to go. And while I really respect that, I knew that the times were changing once you had the rule that said in the NBA, you can't jump right from college to the NBA. You need a year. And that year was basically college basketball's way of getting this elite talent on borrowed time. But I remember saying that I would rather people be honest about what they wanted about the argument than making up a phony argument in its place just because it sounded better. I found it really, really nauseating to hear the old sales guy at my radio station I would work at saying that he cared about the education of the student athlete of his favorite school. I really got bothered by that because it wasn't true. They didn't care what the kid's grade point average was. They didn't even know what the kid was majoring in. They just wanted another run at the Elite Eight and maybe a Final Four. That's all they cared about. It's like when you see those stories, like, you know, maybe, I don't know, Shaq or somebody else, like a player that leaves school early, and then you see them like years later, they're at the graduation ceremony, and then they say in an interview, they're like, I left to the NBA, but I always promised my mother I would come back and get an education, right? Don't use that as ammunition for your own argument. That's between him and his mom, right? For every athlete that had a mother say, I want you to go back and get your degree, you had another mother saying, pursue your dreams and whatever happens, happens. Get that money. stop using that as like, and then when I saw the look on such and such's mother's face when she got that, you can't buy that. Don't use that as your own way of saying, I wish this kid would stay longer so I can enjoy a Final Four. It's disingenuous.
The thing is, you look at players that, you know, like you mentioned Shaq, right? He went back well after his career.
Right, well after his career.
When he has nothing to do. And it's like, well, you know, I'll finish my education.
I saw a video. I think it was on either Reels or TikTok. I can't remember what it was. But I saw a video where Shaq was in an interview. And this might be old news. I just discovered it. Where Shaq was saying that when he was younger, he would go to business meetings with his people, right? His agent and his marketers, you know, people, his team, right? And they would go sit in a room with these corporations. And he noticed that they would shake his hand and they'd be all eye wide, you know, oh, here. But when the business started, they only looked at Shaq's people as if Shaq didn't know business. He was just the basketball player, right? So Shaq said, I had to go back and get my master's in business. I wanted to know what these guys were talking about. I wanted to know, I wanted to be able to hold my own in a room when it came to business. So he talked to the University of Phoenix, you know, that online program.
Yeah, University of Phoenix.
Right.
Yep.
So he contacted the University of Phoenix. He said, I want to get my master's in business and business and marketing. And but I don't want to do it online. I want an actual classroom. And the University of Phoenix said, unfortunately, we don't do classrooms unless you can get 15 people. So he goes, so I paid for 14 of my friends to get their master's in business. Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
That's great. That is great. And so, but that's what a lot of them do. A lot of them find themselves with a little bit more free time, a lot of wealth, and they go, you know what? I'll go get my degree again. And they're not paying to go get the. Yeah, like he didn't pay to go back. They were excited to have Shaq back at school. They're like, come to class anytime you want.
Yeah, and, just you know, read this, please.
Exactly. So they got him the degree. But that's where. But again, you look at the NCAA, and it has this like support of very powerful people who don't want the apple cart to be disrupted, right? That changes as a generation comes where they think the old rules are stupid, and then they have the money that they're donating to the schools, right? They're influential in how this process works. Look, we knew always that the second NIL was coming, there was a group of people ready at every institution, major institution, ready to pounce. We knew that. It didn't matter if NIL came down in 1972, 1985, 1997, 2001. It didn't matter the year. Once this process went through the Supreme Court, as soon as it came back that a student athlete could make money on name, image, and likeness legally, there were groups of people ready to go. Here's the money. We've had this ready for a very long time, right? We're giving it to you anyway, but now we get to give it to you legally. Same thing here. They'll have to restructure stuff if they want to pay the track and field guy a $500 a month or something like that, as you know, whatever it may be, a small amount, but it'll be an amount. They'll find a way. They'll have to restructure a lot of things. There'll be a lot of employees that might have to lose their $600,000 a year job for videotaping practice at the football games, but there'll be some people that they'll find it somehow. If the courts say you want to keep this business alive, figure it out. They'll figure it out. Alex Stroph, next.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's get to our Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers. And a reminder, that Progressive helps you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Alex Stroph joins us, ESPN Madison. So Aaron Rodgers is going to speak in an hour. Is that the latest news that we've got?
I don't know that he's going to speak. I think he's going to exit his... His darkness retreat, right? So he's scheduled to do that sometime today, unless he decides he wants to add a fifth night to it. But Tony D, this has to be the most out there, wild thing I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers, or for a matter of fact, any athlete do, right? Like, I'm not judging him. Do what you got to do. But I've never heard of anything like this. It's completely out there.
How much of this is a quirky personality, and how much of this is playing games with people and just having a good time with their mind?
I think it's just a quirky personality. I don't think, as much as we know, Aaron Rodgers does like to play games and likes to analyze and critique what the media has to say about him. I think this is truly what he wants to do for his mental health, and so be it. Right, do what you've got to do. He did. He's done the Pacha Karma, which is the what's the radio version of saying this? The diarrhea and vomiting that Aaron Rodgers did over the course of 12 days last year. He did the ayahuasca down in Peru 2 off seasons ago. So it seems like he likes these retreats, and this one is supposed to simulate the effects of DMT. So whatever, it's not for me personally, Tony. I would go ahead and assume it's probably not for you either. But if it works for Aaron Rodgers, so be it.
What? Let's get down to the basics here. What is exactly the issue between these two teams, these two camps right now? I mean, we've kind of gone through it before, but in the 2023 version, what's at stake and what are both sides looking at?
So, I mean, it is very similar to your point, right? 2021 was more about, you know, he wanted to be respected. Last year was a little bit different because there was the retirement asterisk. There is that retirement asterisk this year. But the way he's been talking the last 2 weeks on the Pat McAfee show, at least to me, it doesn't seem like a guy that's not playing football in 2023. The thing that Aaron Rodgers is frustrated with is that he feels like he hasn't gotten a full-blown commitment from the Green Bay Packers. It's almost like when you were in college, Tony, and that girl that you were seeing, you didn't give her the full, hey, we're together, we're boyfriend and girlfriend, right? It seems like that's what Aaron Rodgers needs. He needs a full-blown verbal commitment from the Packers, and he hasn't received that yet due to, obviously, Jordan Love, the first-round pick back in 2020, entering the final year of his rookie deal this season. They have the opportunity to pick up Jordan Love's fifth-year option. They have not done so yet. Because I think they're waiting to see what happens with their four-time MVP quarterback. So Aaron Rodgers, I think he just wants commitment, Tony.
Yeah, don't we all? Don't we all? And how much, the Packers hold the cards here, and they hold all the cards here? Outside of the retirement card, what does Aaron Rodgers have to play?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big one, though, right? I mean, if they trade him to, I don't know, let's pull a random team out of a hat, the Tennessee Titans, and he says, you know, I don't want to play in Tennessee, I think I'm going to retire, it just makes it very tricky. So if the Packers do want to move on, Aaron Rodgers kind of does hold the control. If Aaron Rodgers wants to move on, obviously then the Packers hold the control. But you're right. I think it's mostly, you know, it's probably 90% Packers control. But there is that little asterisk that I referred to before of retirement that Aaron Rodgers is technically and saying he is contemplating. I don't see it that way, but who knows? I never know with this guy. But you're right. The Packers really do hold the cards.
There is always this case in the NFL where you have a quarterback that is coming into a position where it's like 2-3 years. That's about what's left. The team is trying to figure out how to move on before you want to move on. Is that what we're kind of seeing where the Packers are like, look, whatever you want, we're not going to give you, but we still want you here. We're just not going to be making the commitment you want.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, right? And we've talked about this, you know, the last several times I've been on with you.
Sure.
This is kind of a repeat of what we saw in 2008 with Brett Favre, right? And
right.
It's not quite that level because there was whisper campaigns heading into the 2008 and really at the end of the 2007 season that, hey, this Aaron Rodgers guy, he's not just your average quarterback. He's something special. And obviously they were right about that. We haven't heard that as much with Jordan Love. We've heard good things, right? He's had some good flashes, and he's certainly developed in his 3 years in the league. And you saw him for, I think it was, he threw 10 passes against Philadelphia over Thanksgiving weekend on that Sunday night football game. But that's about all you've got for Jordan Love. So it's not quite to the same level, but the disgruntlement is much higher than it was with Favre, at least I would say, minus when it came to the end with Favre, right? So we're kind of in this third season, as you mentioned, with Aaron Rodgers. Will I, won't I? Will I be here? Will I be elsewhere? Will I retire? Will I just stay in the darkness retreat, right? You don't really know. So it does seem like there's disgruntlement strictly because there hasn't been a full-blown commitment and because that draft pick of Jordan Love is made in 2020. But I thought it was solved last year when he signed the 3-year extension.
Sure.
And so that's why I think a lot of Packers fans are so frustrated, Tony, right? We do our daily show in Madison, and fans are just over Aaron Rodgers because it's the same thing offseason after offseason now. This is the third time they've done it. Personally, I still want Aaron Rodgers, right? I want an MVP quarterback under center for my favorite team.
Sure.
But I understand the frustration from other fans.
Yeah, and it happened to Brady a bit in New England. No matter what you give fan bases, they want you to be as loyal to their team as they are, as fans. And so that led to my question. You kind of touched on it. Is it a point of fatigue, Aaron Rodgers' fatigue with people, even though he's given them a lot?
A million percent. You're spot on. Aaron Rodgers' fatigue is the perfect way to put it. Fans are sick of him. Like a majority of them that we talk to or, you know, we poll on a daily basis on our show in Madison, it's fans are over Aaron Rodgers. They're ready to move on. They're sick of the drama. They don't want the face of their franchise you know, creating all these dramatics and these fireworks on the Pat McAfee show every offseason. While it's entertaining as hell from my standpoint as a member of the media, fans, however, are sick of it. So I understand it, but I don't know, man. I just don't see how you've seen anything from Jordan Love, from a fan's perspective, that is, that makes me think, yeah, you can go Hall of Fame quarterback to Hall of Fame quarterback to a third in a row Hall of Fame quarterback. I just haven't seen that yet, but I do understand it.
Yeah. The other thing is Aaron Rodgers given any indication at all ever that he would love to experience life as a quarterback in another city?
No, I don't think directly, right? I think there have been comments that if you really want to read in between, you know, if you really want to read in between the lines, sure, maybe you can get that takeaway. But never explicitly has he said, I think I would be better elsewhere. Now, yeah. Could that change this week or next? Absolutely, right? Whatever he found out about himself in the darkness retreat, maybe he says, you know what, maybe it's best for me to have, you know, a couple extra years in New York or Las Vegas or Tennessee or what have you. But I, for a guy that, you know, after they lost to the Lions in week 18 and were eliminated from playoff contention, he talked again about how he would love to have that unique distinction of only playing for one team his entire career. He's been in Green Bay 18 years, right? So that is a long time. But he has never explicitly said, I'd like to be elsewhere. But again, I wouldn't be shocked if that's coming.
We've saw some small reports that the Packers are not happy with him. How disgusted, to use the term, are they with Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know what to make of these reports, right? So the report you're referring to is from a guy named Bob McGinn, who talked with Tyler Dunn on the Go Long podcast. McGinn's covered the Packers forever, so he has some sources inside the building. But I think that my takeaway from that report, Tony, was that he had talked with somebody off the record. And yeah, of course you'd be a little sick of the antics, but you're never sick. Even if he had a bad year, you're never sick of Aaron Rodgers' play on the football field.
So oh, exactly. Yeah, good point.
I do feel as that was a little bit overblown, but I'll continue to say I won't be shocked by anything because the last three off seasons have certainly proven me wrong on some things. But I don't think they're as ready to move on as maybe some of these reports we saw indicated. At least that's what my gut feeling is.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you can be upset with Aaron Rodgers. You can be disgusted by Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't mean you don't want to see him in the building during the week when you get ready for the Lions. Right?
Bingo. I mean, you're exactly right.
You know, it's like you can be upset with your kids, but you're not taking them down the street going, hey, you want an 11-year-old boy? I don't need him anymore. I got another one coming in.
Right, exactly. You're not, that's a very good analogy. Best analogy I've heard on this. Well done.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Where do you think this ends up going? Just your perspective, just your thoughts.
I think it's certainly before the draft, which is at the end of April, obviously. I honestly believe we'll get an answer within the next two to three weeks, if not less than that. I know the Pat McAfee show's off this week, so I don't think we're getting an answer today. but I really do believe we could have an answer as soon as next week. But he might drag it out. But he has explicitly said before free agency he expects to make a decision. And I believe the date on that is, and you might know it, March 15th, I think, is the date for free agency. So I would assume within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Alex, always good stuff, brother. I appreciate you as always. Thank you so much for making time for us, my man.
Hey, man, any time for you, Tony. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Talk to you. Alex Strofe again, ESPN Madison, on the latest on Rodgers and the Packers, which we could see down the road in the next couple of weeks. We'll come back. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I think Alex Strofe, ESPN Madison, our last guest, made a really good point. I think that there is a lot of reading into Bob McGinn's comments on that podcast about the disgusted nature of the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, but don't read into it as they're done with him. It's just, you can be frustrated in a negotiation, or you can be frustrated with a difference of ideas, but in the end, you're not going anywhere, right?
You guys hit it perfectly. I mean, yeah, you can be frustrated with him, like you said, it's like, but you're not getting rid of one of your kids.
Right, exactly.
By the way, I was laughing.
Yeah, well, take him over to hi. This is a perfectly healthy 11-year-old child that will mow your lawn. We don't need him anymore.
Tony, I've been close.
I know. I have been close, too. Lord knows. If your kids aren't driving you crazy, they're not doing their kids' stuff. Right?
And you're not doing your job.
You're not doing your job. You're not doing your job. You're supposed to be conflicting. They're supposed to rebel, right? That's the deal. That's the deal. They're supposed to push the limits.
Yeah, my 15-year-old, right? He knows everything.
Everything. Yep, that's right. They're supposed to tell you they know everything. They're supposed to act like they know everything.
Apparently, I'm done teaching him the ways of life.
That's right. When they come back and they tell you you were right all along, that's when you get the joy. I see it with my father when my father goes, see, I knew what I was doing.
And that's when you sit like Thanos, looking over a grateful universe.
You're welcome. I got you. But yeah, like, again, are you going to be so upset at this process with Aaron Rodgers that by week 8, you don't want to see him in prepping for the Vikings? Like, is this what this is?
Yeah, I know, exactly. And especially Green Bay. I mean, if we just took it on the surface, it sounds like Green Bay is ready to burn all Aaron Rodgers jerseys.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But we know for a fact that, probably more will be bought between now and then.
Sure. Sure. Once this, let him do this craziness. Let him do this thing. And then come back and, all right, let's figure this out. And
what's in the water in Green Bay that keeps doing this?
Yeah, I know, right? All the time. It's, you know what it is? Is that you've got these quarterbacks. It's that the Packers twice now have done a good job. Well, I can't say good job because I don't know what Jordan Love's future is going to be like. But let's just say Jordan Love is a good quarterback.
Benefit of doubt right now.
But at least for two times, they've anticipated needing a good quarterback to replace a guy that's in the process of maybe being done. We don't know, right?
On the downside, yep.
Yeah, and so they went a little early on the jump, sort of playing the game of anticipation. And then they were like, whoops, oh, shoot, we've got a problem here because the guy we want to replace is not leaving or we're having problems with him. And that's when you run into this issue. They've done this twice now. Whereas the Steelers didn't draft anybody until Ben Roethlisberger left, right? They were like, Ben Roethlisberger with duct tape all over his body and super glue on his fingers and everything you could possibly imagine being surgically repaired. They waited until he went, yeah, I'm done. And then they went, okay, let's see if there's a quarterback. And there was an argument in Pittsburgh about whether or not do you go with Kenny Pickett or do you just go, screw it, just get Mitch Trubisky and let's find the future in another draft where there might actually be better quarterbacks. So the Packers were in this position where they Rodgers is on the board. We don't necessarily need a quarterback, but you know what? This kid's talented and we actually like him and we want him to wear our uniform. Let's get him. All right, now there's a problem with their starter. Then later on, same thing. Whatever it is about Jordan Love, like Alex said, there's just not enough on Jordan Love to make a definitive statement, but doesn't change the fact that the Packers love him. It doesn't change the fact that the Packers do think he's the quarterback of the future. But the sure thing is Aaron Rodgers gives you a chance to make the playoffs every year. Didn't last year, but at least it gives you a fighting chance every time. Do you want this to work with Aaron Rodgers? They all want it to work with their star quarterback in the end, but they want it to work on the deals of their term, right? They got a fifth-year option coming up on Jordan Love that they got to figure out what they want to do with that. And you can't do it if you're not feeling a connection to the quarterback that you're playing. Are they trying to force him to retire? No. But they're also not like, you take your time, do whatever you want, play as long as you want. They're also looking at this Jordan Love situation going, we got to do something. If we don't do something, we've lost this opportunity. And again, whether or not you think Jordan Love is going to be a star or not, they do, right? They still do, right? And they may be drinking the Kool-Aid, I don't know, but they do. And if you imagine if you are an organization that drafts this young man, sees him grow and develop, you still believe in him, but you never really get to see it play out because you lost your chance to do something with him when you are still committing so much money to Aaron Rodgers. So that's the problem. I mean, what are they going to do? Sign Jordan Love off a rookie deal to what? Like, if you're Jordan Love, what do? You're not taking backup money. Right? You're going to be like, wait a second. I'm the star. Like, you're going to get me on a backup contract and then he quits and then I get to be on the backup contract? I'm not doing that. So it's a really, really weird position to be in. But it happens when you jump the gun to try to keep the machine flowing, right? And who has done a better job than the Green Bay Packers of keeping the machine going? When was Brett Favre a superstar in this league? Right. When did Brett Favre emerge as a superstar?
Like mid to late 90s.
Mid to late 90s, yeah. Right? 95, 96, mm-hmm. Right? Won a Super Bowl in January of 96. Went to the Super Bowl in 97. Went to a Super Bowl in 98, lost. Before that was making the playoffs. Right? So you are talking about close to 30 years. 30 years. With two quarterbacks, there are Hall of Fame quarterbacks where you are in contention to win a title every single one of those years. Like, what team has done that better than the Green Bay Packers? Patriots, 20 years with Brady, fell off a cliff. Right? Same thing. Steelers will wait years to figure out what happens. Indianapolis Colts, close. Right? Close. We might be talking about them if Andrew Luck was still playing. Right? If Andrew Luck wasn't beat up and hurt and he was still on the Colts and he was still a young, what, 30-something-year-old player? About 32, 33, I think his age. We'd still be buzzing about them. That would be one that went from franchise to franchise and gave their fan base decades of excellence. So the Packers were trying to keep that machine moving, but they ran into a buzzsaw where they jumped too early with the guy that they liked. And now they're caught up in this mess. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So today he comes out, sees his shadow.
That's the day.
Goes back into the hole for six more weeks of bitterness.
I'm just wondering if someone comes out. I mean, if he speaks some gibberish and, you know, he says... You know, they say, oh, he has chosen. Maybe that's where Pat McAfee is. Maybe Pat McAfee went to meet him.
Pat McAfee will emerge as the Phil Connor of this whole process.
What if Pat McAfee showed up and he's wearing, like, you know, the top hat, the suit that
that would be awesome.
He shows up as he emerges out of the cave or hole. Mike,
you know what? If you get Aaron Rodgers on, he has to dress up just like that guy.
Yes.
There needs to be somebody calling somebody in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania to find out what that outfit
can we borrow your suit, sir?
And then you call what do you call those? Seamstress? Is that who they are? People make it, costume
Taylor.
Designer? Taylor, you make that exact outfit, and that's what you show up with on the show that you get Aaron Rodgers out from the darkness. Brilliant, Ron Culver. Brilliant.
That's what I do. I give other people great
fantastic
ideas.
Fantastic idea. That is a great idea. Golly, you should sell that to them. If we see it, you know what? Even though we don't have connection with that show, if I see it, I'm going to give you credit.
Yeah.
If they go down that road, must be through some sort of telepathy.
Well, it's a known fact that people do listen to us and steal our stuff.
That's very true.
We always come up with something and then see it a few days later.
And then we see it a few days later. That is very true.
The similarities are just too there. I mean, I'm not going to go the other similarity about a guy who emerged from a rock 3 days after dying.
Yeah, do that. Yeah,
he's not on that level.
That's more Groundhog Day than the start of a worldwide religion.
Right.
Yeah, I got you. I hear where you're going with that. That's very true. Aaron Rodgers. Golly. You know what it is? It's I hate to admit this, but it's this weird thing where I'm sick of it, but at the same time, I would miss it if it wasn't around. Weird, you know what I mean?
If we didn't have Aaron to talk about, what are we going to keep focusing on? You know, the Giants' big decision is Daniel or Saquon.
I don't want a happy Aaron Rodgers. If somebody said, "Hey, guess what? Aaron Rodgers is super happy and you'll never hear from him again," I'd be like, "No, I kind of like complaining about him."
Why does he get all his cake and eating it too? Right?
Yeah. No. I give me back the bitter Aaron Rodgers. Bleh. Like, that's what I want.
And I think that's also part of the problem. Like, you had mentioned when talking to Alex that there is Rodgers fatigue.
Yeah.
It's because for how long now? I mean, from R-E-L-A-X
all the time. All the time, it feels like he's, what are we going to do? Thanks to Alex Stroh for joining the show today. Thanks to all of you for listening in. Ron as well. The Lombardi line's coming up next, and we'll see you tomorrow. It's Wake Up Call. Tony D and Ron Culver.